Today is a little bit different today because we're going to be having the Dominican Republic team come up and talk about their experiences, which is really exciting. They're going to be led by their fearless leader, Steve. Now, I got to give props to Steve because Steve did what I wanted him to do, and that was he brought my daughter back in one piece. So you will live another day. Can we put the circle of discipleship up, please? Circles of discipleship. One of the foundational parts of our church is what we call the circles of discipleship. And these are the parts that really we believe make our church or the calling that our church has. You notice there's get known, get others, get life, get connected, and get going. They're on the back wall. They're all over the place. And we really believe in getting involved, and we believe that this is what church should be as defined by Scripture. Well, one of the things that we're going to be doing beginning next week is we're going to be moving into a sermon series on the book of Acts. We just finished the book of John. It took us 4 years and 3 weeks. No, it didn't. It took us, a year and a half or something. But was that not wonderful? Did you guys enjoy that? Yes. Yeah, not everybody's clapping. I can see you who are not clapping, by the way. Okay. I was just talking to my dear sister up here. We were talking about, Faith and I were chatting about this whole thing, and she came up and she said, Scott, I cannot tell you how excited I am about going into the book of Acts. If, for those of you who don't know, the book of Acts, of course, is the story of the starting of the New Testament church. I say the starting. Obviously, Jesus began that with his ministry, but it talks about after Jesus' death all the way through the birth of that new church. And as she was talking to me, it suddenly hit me, and I looked at her and I said, you know, John, the Gospel of John, is a core foundational book for any believer to understand. It was foundational core. In fact, if you have a new believer, one of the first things you do is say, they're like, where do I start in the book, in the Bible, Genesis? And we usually say, no, start in Romans. No, we don't tell them that. They're going to go, what is this guy talking about? No, we say, go to the book of John. Because John talks about, of course, the life of Jesus Christ, but the whole plan of redemption, the whole plan of salvation in Christ coming. And what's so interesting now is, I don't know if you're like me, but I really feel like in the last few months our church is being reborn. A lot of wonderful things are happening. His Spirit's starting to move powerfully in the room. And what I believe is so wonderful is that the foundation was laid with the book of John, and now we're going to walk into the book of Acts. It talks about the birth of a church. And I really believe that's symbolic of what's happening here in our church, and it's really exciting. So we're going to be going into that. We're going to have, I think it's you, Pastor Robert. Is it you next week? You're giving the background of the book of Acts. You're going to really enjoy that. Yeah, the whole book in 30 minutes. It's the Cliff Notes, abridged Cliff Notes. So anyways, we're going to enjoy that. So I think if you're as excited about me about that series, it's going to be wonderful. So anyways, back to the circles of discipleship. I want to just mention we're going to have the Dominican Republic team come up here and talk about what happened in their mission trip. But as you look at these different circles, okay, one of them is called Get Going. Get going is something that you better get ready, because we're going to be doing a lot of get going as our church continues to move out into the community. They happen to move out into another country, but we're going to begin moving into the community as well. Get going is where we actually take what God has done inside of us and we share it with other people. Okay? Get going doesn't mean we stand on a corner and say, here's a tract, here's a tract, here's a tract. If you need, ask the pastor. He can talk to you about that. Now, get going is where you share what's inside of you. It can be done in your workplace. It can be done in a restaurant. It can be done on an airplane. It can be done on a dirty street corner in the Dominican Republic. It can be done anywhere. So this is a foundational part of our church, and we really, truly believe it's a very important part. So today we're going to be celebrating Get Going. Now, to begin with, and I'm not going to be talking much longer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce a video that was done. Buddy passed this video on to us. This is a video that was done of the trip. And by the way, they met with other groups there. So if some of the kids don't and people don't seem familiar, it's because you don't know them. They met up with them. But I think it was a wonderful video. I watched it. It's about 5 minutes. And after that, I'll let my daughter come up and introduce the rest of them.
Hey, guys. Hello?
It's not on.
Hey. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Toby. Dad's like, the microphone's on, don't worry. So, yeah, right. Anyways, good morning. As you guys can see, we had a lot of fun. So, I'm Kate. I'm Hetty and Scott's daughter. And I went on the missions trip. It was a lot of fun. And I just wanted to ask everybody who went on the missions trip to come up now. So, everybody, come on. You too, Andrea, come on. I tell you one thing, if you guys want to travel with a group, I don't know about this one. I'm just kidding. We all have a little bit of our stories to share, and if you guys don't want to share them, you guys don't have to. Don't feel pressured to. But what we did there is we went out into the community, and we talked to a lot of people, and we did skits, and we sang songs, like, what is it called, the Patootita? That was pretty interesting. Anyways, so we handed out a lot of bracelets. I actually did not wear mine today. I don't know if any of you guys wore yours. Andrea, see, that's why we had her up on stage. We handed out Bibles, and we invited people to a church, and it was a lot of fun. And so I'm going to hand the microphone over to this side, and we're going to work our way down and share our stories.
Wow. I wasn't prepared for this. I can tell that. I've been having the week so busy since I got back. I had to get up on stuff and crazy. But my name's David Fuentes. I was part of the translators for this group, which we had a lots and lots of fun and complaints and all sorts of stuff, like usual, used to. But it was a lot of fun. We went throughout around 5 communities. We gave out food, and we gave out bracelets. And we also shared the gospel with them in our own way, showing them love from the States to them. And they had the awesome thing was, in this trip, their heart was open to the gospel. It was more open than I ever seen somebody. They would say yes almost to everything we asked them. And it was a lot of fun.
I'm not sure what to say. I'm Vicky. That one was Andrea.
That one.
There was a lot of stories, and I don't know which ones to share. Explain the bracelet. The bracelet. They can't see it from. Well, the bracelet has a bunch of beads on it, and the brown one represents sin, and the red one represents the blood of Jesus, and the clear one is when it cleans you, and then the green one is new life, and the gold one is heaven.
Hi, I'm Jessica, Kara Gordon, and Brent Gordon, and their daughter. we're all obviously kind of shy. let's see, the trip was amazing. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I actually miss it a lot, and coming home was weird because we're so used to, I was so used to hearing Spanish. And I would just got so used to tuning out of every conversation, so when we came back, I could hear everyone, understand everyone. It was just like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. But I think my favorite part of the trip was going on the streets. Everyone would just, like, you'd walk up to someone and like, just say hello, and, you know, you're going to give them a bracelet and explain it. But they'd be like, come inside my house and sit down, and of course, I was just like, you're speaking Spanish, what are you saying? David? Daniel? But it was wonderful, and skits were probably my favorite part. Kate did a wonderful job with them wherever she went. Bow, Kate, for skits. But they were wonderful. And I found, I normally am extremely stage fright, like I am right now. But while we were on the trip, I found skits were, like, my favorite thing to do. I would jump up and be like, let's do a skit. I like skits. And I found that I wasn't very stage fright at all. I was very excited to do anything in front of everyone and just kind of have fun with it. But that was probably my favorite part. Okay.
I am Michael McCracken. I'd like to share a little bit more about the people. The people there was a poor area that we went to, and then there was a little bit better off area, and then there was a really good off people, rich, very rich. Like David said, there the poor people were the ones that were like, oh yes, give me your bracelet, tell me what it means. Yes, I will accept Christ. That's catchy. but once you go up to getting people that have more of this world, they don't want anything to do with it. And it's just like here, you know, it's very hard to get to people and to reach people once they got more better off they were. But a lot of them came to a certain event that we actually had, that we were in the richer area. We went door to door and invited people to a center where we would lead worship and we'd do skits and things like that. And we had translators there and everything. And it was really cool. There wasn't the majority of people who said that they would come or that they're thinking about coming didn't really come, but there was a small group, but it was still really good and large came. And it was just amazing how they came, and I was thinking maybe no one would come because a woman that went with us on the trip, her name's Paola, she's from Brazil, and the place that we were at, the houses, she said that's what millionaires have in her country. So it was really crazy to see them there, and it really blessed me to see that they actually cared to come, and just all the poor people as well to know that God is the only way and that can save them. And I can just see it's going to grow and everything, because I see little kids running around showing each other their bracelets and showing their parents, and it's just really cool how they're all spreading it, and God's a very good disease.
They're all staring at me. My name's Kaylee Sowers. I went on the trip and it was good.
Hey, my name's Kathy, and this is the first time I've been on a mission trip in 5 years with a group of young people. And this was, I believe, it was their first trip for all of them, and I was very proud of them. They were terrific, and they were eager to share the word. They did not hesitate when they were asked to do something. They rolled with the punches. And I think when they came home, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but they were probably on a high, on God's high, for hours and hours. And you can't go to sleep. And I'm sure that even though they were tired, I'm sure they were just so wired from all the things they'd heard and all the things they'd seen and all the new friends they made. There's nothing, you can't get to know someone better than staying in a building with them for 10 days, 10 nights, eating and sleeping and breathing. And then it's just the best way to get to know people and get to know people that you've been going to church with.
Okay. I'm Amber Peck, Janet Peck's daughter, and I want to share an experience. Okay. One of the days we went out ministry, like, we were just walking down this little hill, and, like, we came to this house, and, like, David was normally praying over the people, And he asked me if I wanted to pray over this one lady. She had depression. And I started to pray over her, and of course I was crying. And after I was done praying, she was all happy and stuff. And, like, then she seen I was crying, and David was like, she was crying, like, those are her tears. I was like, at first I was like, I'm just crying because I'm always emotional. And then I really started to think about it. I was like, God might have made me cry so she could see that somebody else could feel her pain. I always cry anyways, but but it was like, it was just a beautiful experience that I got to have.
All right. Hey, I'm Daniel Fuentes. I'm David Fuentes' brother. We were the translators for this group, and it was just fun to go out there in the streets and be able to translate. It was an honor to translate for these guys. They were so amazing, and we made a lot of friends, like locals and from other countries. There were 63 people in this trip, and all of us had good friendships in this group, and I'm pretty sure some of us cried when we came back, and we had some emotional times, and I just want to say, like, back there it's so different from back here in the States, because people out there are so open to the gospel, they're so loving. Like, I can't just go to my neighbor's door and they'll just invite me in. Back there, you just knock in, they'll go like, hey, you want some coffee? Let's sit down, be comfortable, you're part of the family. And so that was just like kind of like an awakening to my mind, because I was used to it, and then I came back to this, came to the States, and I forgot all about it. And so it was just like it taught me to be more friendly and more open to people, and it taught me to like to be more open about the gospel, to be able to speak to everybody that I get to know, because there was this lady that told me, like, we don't know like when this person is going to be able to hear the gospel again. And, like, we are here to share the gospel. And if they don't hear it, who is going to tell them about it? So I caught that, and I just think that every single chance that we have to share the gospel, we should take that and not waste it, because we don't know when people are going to be able to hear the gospel again. So, yeah, that's it.
I'm not going to take up much time. For sure. I'm just going to say I appreciate all of the kids that went, and they were so loving. They were so sweet. They were so respectful. So they've come from good homes. And they had to learn a lot while they were there. But it was great for everyone. And we had people from Brazil. We had people from Mexico. And we had people from an international training institute, DCPI. That did a lot of training, and they got to meet a lot of wonderful people. And these people are out just spreading the gospel and building churches and going into poor communities that have nothing. The communities we went in had nothing. They had nothing for the people, and the people had nothing. And so just that little bit of hope and a little bit of joy that we bring in causes a whole church to grow. And Steve's going to tell you some more about that.
All right, I'm talking before Steve. It's okay. So, like I said, I'm Kate, preacher's kid. It was quite interesting there. I have two stories I'd like to share with you. The first one's kind of funny. We went into a small village, actually here, and the little boy in the striped shirt, as you can see him, he's holding a kitty, which he tried to give to me to profess his love for me. It was hard not to say yes. I mean, the kid had a kitten, but, you know. I had to tell him no, and eventually he came back with a dog. And this is where it gets good. I had David tell him no, no thank you, no. The kid comes back with a horse. This is the time we left the village, thank the Lord. I was afraid he'd come back with an elephant or a whale or something. So that was my funny story, and I'm happy that picture was up there, actually. Anyways, my second story is about being talked to by God. He doesn't talk to me very much, and when he tells me to do something that he knows I need to do, he'll be forceful with me. He's like my dad a lot, you know? I mean, we went to a small park. Actually, it wasn't really a park. It was just a little center area, like the center of town, and there were people sitting around, and we were worshiping and doing skits for them, and we were walking around and handing out bracelets and explaining what they meant to people, you know, just spreading the gospel. And one of these little shoe shiners, now listen, these boys have nothing, basically. They're like, the one that I noticed was around between 12 and 14. I wasn't really sure how old he was, but I noticed that his feet, he was wearing shoes that were way too small for his feet. And his feet were about the size of mine. And guys, I have big feet, okay? His feet were about the size of mine, and I'm looking at his feet, and he's wearing shoes that are half his size. Like, they don't look like they fit at all. They're little flip-flops, and I was just like, man, like, how long has it been since you've got a new pair of shoes? And I'm looking at, like, I couldn't stop just looking at his feet, and they were all scratched up and stuff. You could see, like, the pavement, and he's been walking on it all the time, and something just kind of clicked, and it was like, give him your shoes. What? I was like, okay, I don't know if this is God or not, or just my mind playing tricks on me. I'm not going to give this kid my shoes. This is my only pair of flip-flops I own in this country and in the States. I don't want to give him my shoes. And it just kept saying, give him your shoes right now. I sat there and fought with this little voice in my head for about 10 or 20 minutes. And finally, it was like, if you don't give him your shoes right now, and I was like, fine, okay, you win. And so, of course, I grabbed my translator, David, and we walked over, and I'm talking to him, and I made him sit down. I didn't make him, I asked him to sit down. And I took his old shoes, and I put my flip-flops on him, and they fit him absolutely perfectly. So I'm kind of glad God kind of kicked me in the butt for that one, because he was really happy when I gave him those new shoes, and he kept his old ones and probably gave them to some other kid, you know, but I was really happy that, one, I actually listened to God this time, and two, he was able to have a new pair of shoes, and I don't give myself any credit for that. I give that all to God, so, yep.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Steve Colesray, youth pastor. Jesus. I tried to teach him over there to say praise the Lord. I think the best I got was praise the Lord. Was good enough. But they were good at Jesus too. A couple stories. We were out there in the streets, and there was this older fella. He came out of his house with a cigar, and he was just really walking slow, and he had to sit down because we said, hey, we'd like to talk to you if you're interested, and he sat down, and we gave him the bracelets and showed him the plan of salvation and asked him if he'd like to pray, and he prayed, him and his wife, and at the end of his prayer, he'd up to that point, he'd been pretty stoic, just, you know, moving around easy. But then after his prayer, all of a sudden he burst out, Jesus! And then a second time he goes, Jesus! His arm didn't quite go as high as the first time, but I was like, wow, that's awesome. Just to be where somebody who's just receiving Christ and just all of a sudden excited about what God's doing, just yelling it in the streets. And I was extremely excited about that. And there's one time Kaylee actually would just press out there. We'd get off the bus and I'd say, okay, let's organize our little group here. And then I'm like, where's Kaylee? She's right there. Yeah, she's already talking to people. And so I'm like, so I'm assigning people to go with Kaylee because she's already gone. And it's keep an eye on her, folks. Don't let her out of your sight. Praise the Lord. And there was this one time, somehow she was assigned to my group, and Pastor Buddies was with me as well, was translating for us, and then she actually had Anthony, the translator, with her. And she was just every youth that was any child, any adult, anybody that was on the streets, they were stopped. And of course, we were doing the same thing. And me and Pastor Buddy walked up to a house, a woodworking fella. And as we walked up, we started talking. Well, Pastor Buddy was talking to him about his work. And he said, "Wow, I feel the presence of God. The hair on my arms are standing up." And about that time, I looked back, and Kaylee was down the street with another youth or something. She was sharing the word with them. And one of the youth that were saved the day before was actually explaining the bracelet. And I thought, I'm in a good place here. It's really awesome to be able to just go to a community and just tell everyone about God. And then the community already working to share what God's doing. And that fellow we talked to, I asked Pastor Buddy, I go, Pastor Buddy said, "I think he's a Christian," and this and that. And before we left, I waved his son over, and we explained the bracelet to him. And then I said, "Well, maybe we should pray, Pastor Buddy." He goes, "Well," and I go, okay. So we go out of the gate, and then before we get up to the front of his house, and he runs in the house and brings out one of his teenage daughters and says, "Hey, could you share the bracelet with her too?" And so after that, I was like, "Oh, we're going to pray now, right, Pastor Buddy?" He's like, "I don't know." And so I was like, wow, you know. And meanwhile, Kaylee runs by me. She heard some kids in the other area, her and Anthony, chasing some other kids down to talk to. So I'm like, there they go. And after we share the bracelet with her, we turn and start to go. And then he brings another teenage daughter out of the house. And I go, "Now, after we explain this, we're going to pray, Pastor Buddy." And sure enough, all the kids got saved. And they were thanking us, you know, thanking us that we were sharing the gospel to them. And that's, yeah, amen. 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 Yeah, in the first 2 days up in that mountain area, there was almost 100 people reached for Christ by our team in 2 days, yeah. And one of the greatest things was when we went back on that Sunday afternoon, we set up a outside church and some places that they were going to work on having a church. And I don't know, was it 100 or 150 there for that service on Sunday? And all the people that were there, there's a fellow named Israel, who me and Mike were talking to this fellow. We couldn't speak. Those times ran out of translators. They were all busy doing something. So we have this green book, and we just point to them to read it. And as they're reading it, you know, you kind of ask, "What's your name?" in broken Spanish somehow, try and get their name. "I'm Steve. What's your name?" You know. So they tell your name. And then during the bracelet, we gave him a bracelet. We're explaining it to him by the book there. And I said, "What's your name?" And then, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Israel." I turned back to Mike. I go, "Mike, Israel's getting saved. I know it." So, yeah. Amen. Israel did get saved and on that Tuesday. And Sunday when we were back, Israel found me out in that 100-whatever crowd and just came out and gave me a hug. And we still couldn't talk a lick. yeah, praise the Lord. I said, "Pastor Buddy, talk to him." And Pastor Buddy talked to him. He goes, "Wow, he is saved." I said, "Yeah, praise the Lord. I wish I could talk to him too, but he's got God on in his heart and he's on fire." And it's just a blessing to be there. We got. I have tons more stories, guys. If you want to just sit down for a little bit, I'm just going to go over a lesson. And unless anyone has anything else to say, Victoria has. See, that's it. Praise the Lord. Victoria's going to share something, then I'll do a quick lesson.
Okay, so there was this security guard. I'm not going to talk about how we met him, but Kaylee met him because she's very friendly, and we talked to him, And he ended up just, like, being a friend and, like, coming around all the time being like, hey, guys, what's up, in Spanish. And we didn't understand what he was saying, but he was, like, excited to see us because it was funny. I don't know, he had a funny story. And one night Kaylee just decided to, like, hand him, like, a bracelet and, like, try to explain it. And she showed him the book, and he was, like, he really liked the book. And she was, like, handing out bracelets to just, like, all the staff. And she had, like, the security guard was reading it out loud and explaining it. So pretty much all of the staff got a bracelet and got to hear the gospel. Yeah.
Every group has different experiences, and it's just wonderful to see what happens. Can you hear it? I can't hear it. Every group has different experiences, and it's wonderful to see what happens to the kids. Some of them, it's their first time. Some of them, on the first time, they win 50 souls apiece. Some of them win two or three. But once they won the first soul by themselves, you don't have to encourage them or anything. They're just gone. They're going to win everybody. But I'd like to thank the church for making so many bracelets every year. I can't tell you how many countries that we've been into and taken these bracelets. And you've just taken the load off of me when you come and you make all of these bracelets. And I want to just tell you one little story. Can I tell you one little story? We were in Colombia. And I'm the bracelet lady. I carry tons of them with me, and I give them out to everybody and give them to other kids to pass them to other kids. But it's like anybody I see, I want to give them a bracelet. And the reason why I want to give them a bracelet is because it's an instant way to share the gospel. You don't have to get acquainted. Hey, I'm from the United States. My name is so-and-so. You just say, hey, I have a gift for you. And you start out with what the beads mean. This is our sins and how bad they are. This is when Jesus died on the cross. And this is the rest of it, you know, when you get finally to heaven. And they're just so thrilled with it. And then you automatically have a chance to pray for them. So in Colombia that time, we had a chance to go to a mall one day. Oh, boy, the kids were so excited to get to go eat at a mall and get what they wanted. And it was a nice mall. They don't have a lot of them, but the ones they have are really nice. So when I get to the mall, I'm still stirred up. I'm still wanting to witness, and I've got all these bracelets with me. So I'm going to different people that are eating and giving them bracelets. And I said, Lord, give me the hardest group that there is in here to witness to. And there were about 8 or 10 youth sitting at a table. And I thought, I'll just go give them the bracelets and see what happens. But you always have to leave it up to the Lord. So I gave each one of them a bracelet. And they looked at me so excited, like it was the most beautiful thing they ever saw in their life. This is surprising because when we make the bracelets, we make them by the thousands, you know. And they just, every bracelet is important. And I put it on all of their arms, and then I started asking them the questions. There were only two of them that had a little bit of Christianity, and none of the rest of them. I got to lead the whole group of them to the Lord sitting there. And then when we got through, what was so interesting, they kept trying to say something to me, and I couldn't understand what they said. And I prayed for them, but they were asking me something. And it had something to do with their bracelets. And they were wanting to go to the schools and give out bracelets and witness to everybody in the schools. And they didn't know that's what we had been doing. We had been in 80 schools that year in Colombia and had put on skits and drama and given bracelets to all of, in 80 schools, everybody got bracelets and got witnessed to. And here they're wanting to make bracelets and go to the schools. So I looked in my book in the dictionary, and all I could find is the word make. And I pointed to it, and they said, oh. So they decided they were going to go make bracelets. And they left, and they threw me a kiss. You know, just all of them threw me a kiss. So later on, I went into the bathroom, and while I was waiting, because the stalls were full, I started giving out bracelets to those in the bathroom. Well, what happened, I really caused a calamity, because nobody wanted to leave the bathroom until they got a bracelet and got prayed for. And when I came out of the bathroom, the line in the mall was so long. people waiting to get into the restrooms. And I thought, oh, Lord, at least I didn't get in trouble. But I wanted to share that just to thank you so much for helping us with the bracelets. It's such an instant way for anybody to witness. And you can use it here in the States everywhere. I do it all of the time. I take it to just people. If you went to McDonald's or something, you could just go over to a couple, and, you know, you'll find out the man will stick out his arm and the wife and the children. They all want a bracelet.
Praise the Lord. Real quick.
I just want to thank Andrea and Steve for the transportation and the Randalls, and I want to thank Robert for all the important administrative work he did. You have to get all the tickets correct, letter by letter, the same as the passports. It is very important, and I thank Robert for that.
Amen. Guys, you can sit down for a minute, and I'd like you to come back up here in a little bit. Just have a quick lesson, and, of course, on top of my notes is to thank everybody for not just the bracelets, not just the tickets, but everything in general that is so supportive and is such a real blessing for us to know that a church is interested about sharing God's love. And it really, not only that praying for his presence and leading us, you know, praying that the Lord will lead us through our mission. We landed the first day and Saturday night, and Sunday we got there, and they said, hey, we need a team to go out to the church. So we went out. We were still groggy. No, there you go. We were still groggy from our trip. We'd stayed up the whole night, and we went out to help a church service. And it was a children's service, and we got the balloons and the bracelets and everything. We were sharing, and it was just an awesome time. And we could see that God was moving there, and a lot of kids were finding Christ. And we had a great service afterwards, and another 20 kids found Christ that day. At that service, as well as in the streets. But somebody walked up to me and said, well, the pastor of the church and the director of the missions come to me and said, let's pray for this woman, let's pray for this woman. And I go, okay, yeah, let's pray. So we prayed, and it was just a great time. We were just seeking the Lord for her and just praying over all her situations and everything. And then before she left, I said, God has a word for you. Of course, we're doing it through translator. I told the translator, God has a word for her. Don't let her go. And he said, and so I said, God wants you to worship him. I said, and I thought she was a church member. So I was like, yeah, God wants all of you to worship him. And then it came across stronger. I said, God wants you to worship him. And then he translated, God wants you to worship him. Translated. So I'm thinking to myself, this is great. I'm going Billy Graham on her, and she knows she's coming to church tonight, you know? So, hey, you know, whatever. So these Americans, whatever. About an hour and a half or 2 hours later, they told me that she was the medium across the street that had been practicing her stuff for 20 years. They've been praying for her. That's just to say, when God gives you something to say or do, you know, as strange as it seems, because if I took you aside and said, God has a word for you, God wants you to worship him, right? You'd be like, yeah, I know that, Steve, thank you. You know, but she was just coming out of that, and I just praise God that we're able to, you know, have the Holy Spirit lead us. And that's the important thing of our whole mission. The Holy Spirit was there, and I know that you guys were praying for us, and we could tell that the Holy Spirit was there, and it was changing the things around us. And like I said, the people already felt the presence of God as we were walking up. And I just want to talk a little bit about the presence real quick, and then we'll be done. I'd like to have a time of prayer before we go. How we can have the presence of God in our everyday life. It was great in the Dominican, but we can bring it home. It can be part of our lives everywhere we go. If we read John 15, back to John. See, we're not done with John. John 15, 5 through 6. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. But apart from me, ye can do nothing.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. And I was thinking that I was going to get a little more help today, and I decided to bring Brett Favre with us. I know it's funny. Brett Favre decided, I asked him, and he said he'd help us today. Thank you, Brett. So, what the scripture is talking about was us being in him. And he's the vine, we're the branches, and we have to be connected. But a lot of times, Brett's representing us right now. Thank you. We wrap ourselves in the world. I'm trying to do this one hand. I should do. So now Brett's wrapped in the world. How many times are we wrapped up in the world and the things around us? How many times do we live our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in the world? I told my wife I was using Brett, and she thought it was hilarious. So how many times are we living wrapped up in the world? And where's the Spirit when we're in the world? Where's the Spirit of God? He may brush by us when someone prays, when somebody, when we come to church. You might have felt the Spirit here, but we're living in the world, wrapped up in the world. And when we're wrapped up in the world, we can sense the presence of God and see it, but the presence of God is not flowing out of us. The presence of God is not changing the things around us. It's touching us sometimes, and we're having a relationship, but it's a second-hand relationship because we're wrapped up in the world. If we read on in that scripture, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and that you be disciples. So, if we're wrapped up in the world, we end up following the things of the world and being persuaded, and sin and everything becomes what our lives are all about. Now, if you see there, Brett is in the Bible. He's in the Word. We need to be wrapped up in the Word. If we're not wrapped up in the Word, then we're wrapped up in the world, right? We need to be wrapped up in the world, not just in the Word. Get my card here. But in prayer. We need to be wrapped up in the Word and prayer. We have more. This is our worship. My wife. Yeah, this is our worship blanket. Wrapped up in the Word, prayer, and worship. This is where we need to be. This is where things are changed. This is where we bring the good news to people. If I bring the good news, the teens like us. This is good street ministry stuff here. If we bring the good news to people, what is the good news? That we're wrapped up in the world? That we can sense God sometimes, and that He's at church if you come to church? That's the beginning. That's the beginning. We want to be in the Word. We want to be in prayer. We want to be in worship. We want to be in the place God wants us to be. We need to be focused on these things. This is where we need to be. We need to be hidden in there. And when people see us, that they know that the presence of God is moving forward. And the presence of God changes us. It gives us love. It gives us peace, joy. We become people that have a purpose. We become people that are happy. We become people that are doing God's will. Also, I forgot to put in there, fellowship of believers too. And that's a little picture of us doing Bible study as a youth. And that fellowship's important. If we go to the Dominican in our own power, wrapped up in the world, God will use us. He'll have things for us to do. He'll give us people to reach. But if we're wrapped up in the Word, He'll give us words to change their lives, and that will be even more fruitful, and things will happen. So if we're wrapped up in the Word and going out to witness, then it doubles the effort we're doing. It changes what we're doing. Then we know that we're going to the place that He called us, and that not only do we have to go out to the Dominican, but we have to our neighborhood, we have our friends, we have our families, and our places of work. I have a stadium here where Brett went to work. Where's Brett's stadium? I know it's silly, but where's his stadium? Well, I guess old Lambo Stadium, but he worked at several others. When we go to work, we're bringing God. We're wrapped up in prayer, in the Word, in the Spirit, in worship. And we can bring it to our workplace. We can bring it to our workplace. People will know that we're there. I was teaching a lesson in the Dominican to a group. And Jessica goes, tell them the story about when you're working. Jessica told me to tell the story about when I was working. Because it matters if we're in the Spirit, if the Word's in us. I won't tell you the story now because we're running along on time. But when the Spirit of God is in us, we yell praise the Lord. It changes things around us. We're excited about who God is and what He's doing. And that's where we need to be. We need to live that way. We need to not just be in the Spirit when we go do God's work, or not when we just come to church, but we need to be in the Spirit in our lives and everything we do. Our rooms should be a place where God is pouring down to us, and the Spirit's talking to us, and we can live like that and share the good news with people in a way that's supernatural, in a way that's exciting, in a way that matters. No matter where we go, what we do, we can be like that. And I praise God that we can do that, and I praise God that He's called us to build churches that are full of life, full of the Holy Spirit. When we were up there, that church, and had that last service, I was so excited to see. I was standing there with our group of teens. Actually, it was the first night. And our group of teens, the Shalom Church that was supporting this New Start Church, had some teens in with ours. And there was a whole new set of teens that were unchurched, unreached, standing there looking at us doing our presentation, our skits and everything. I thought, praise God that this is an opportunity that we can go into the streets and start another church and give them the hope and the joy and the peace that we have. And I praise God that we had that opportunity. And we have that opportunity everywhere we go, every day. Guys, I want you to come up, all the youth, I want you to come on up. I'd like to pray with you. All the youth, sure. Yeah, all the youth, which is a great group, praise God. And then I'd like just right now, for anyone who's been thinking about, yeah, the presence of God is not always in my everyday. The presence of God is not where it should be. If you want to come on up and let's make it a time to pray. Amen. What a great youth group, huh? We're half the church now, huh? Jesus. I want us all just to take time. I'm going to pray. And then as I'm praying, I just want, do we have any kind of music that can go on? And I'm going to pray. And then I just want everybody else to come on up. And let's dedicate ourselves to having the presence of God. Most of all, if we're out there reaching people for the Lord, we want the presence of God in our church. But we don't want the presence of God to be something that's outside of us, that we're wrapped up in the world. We want to be wrapped up in the Word, in prayer, in worship. Let me pray. Dear God, we praise You and thank You that You're our God and King, and that we can dedicate our lives to You, and we can go out to the Dominican and to all other parts of the world, and we can support people doing that. We praise You and thank You that You've given us a life, a relationship that's real, and that Your presence is so real in us when we get into Your Word, when we get into prayer, when we get into worship, God, when we press into You, when we fellowship in the family of God. I praise You and thank You that You're a God that's real. You're a God that's awesome. You're a God that changes things. And I thank You that You've given us so many opportunities. You've given us a great place, a great church to disciple people for You, God. I pray right now that we'd begin that discipleship again in a way that the fullness of the Holy Spirit would lead us. The fullness of the Holy Spirit would be with us in everything we do, not just here in church today, but in everywhere we go this coming week, in our workplace, in our schools, in everything we do. God, I praise You and thank You. that you're God and King. If anybody wants to come up and pray, guys, we can all just sit down here and let's just lay hands on anyone coming up and just pray that the fullness of the Holy Spirit will be. We can't do it on our own. We cannot. We cannot follow God on our own. It's something that the Spirit gives us. God wants to be in us. We need just to be attached to Him. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to go to the Dominican. We don't have to shut down Publix and stop everyone at the line and say, hold on, I want to preach. You just have to be full of the Holy Spirit, and God will lead you. He may ask you to do that, but that's probably not what He's going to do. He's probably going to just have a presence around you, and people will ask you, people will come to you, and He'll tell you who to go to, who's the one you need to go to reach. The people we reached over there were just hungry for the Word. They were completely hungry. I mean, you tell me, if a small mountain village, if 100 people get saved in 2 days, you know that they're hungry. They're asking Christ in their hearts without question, and God was changing them. You could see the love and joy and peace in their face. Pray that we'll do that, that we'll be there, that we'll move, we'll shift out of our being wrapped up in the world and be wrapped up in the Word, in God's presence. Come on up if you want to be praying for, guys. Why don't you come down here and we're just going to pray out this service, guys. Let's pray for our church, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that every one of us would have the Spirit to bring to our community.